Hey everyone, I'm Pastor Derek Baum with Aldersgate Church, and I just want to take a moment to welcome you and to thank you for joining us today. We worship at the corner of 6th and Lincoln, right here in downtown Aberdeen, and our prayer and our hope is that today's worship and message will help you and all of us come to know who Jesus is, to know His grace and the life that He offers to each and every one of us. We're not perfect people, but we certainly strive for the one who is. So friends, welcome to Aberdeen, welcome to worship, and welcome to Aldersgate. We're glad to have you here.
Well, good morning, Aldersgate Church. It is good to see you all. I'm glad you've decided to join us for worship this morning. For those tuned in online, welcome. We are honored, wherever you are in the world, to join us for worship this morning. Happy Father's Day. Can we give a hand clap to all the fathers out there? We hope your day is special and that you enjoy it. A couple of announcements to go over before we get going with worship. Next Sunday, exciting, the car show. So you're going to want to be a part of that. Stop on by and check out all the classic cars. It's something we do every year, and it's really cool. So we'll have food and all that good stuff. So you just need to stop on by, bring your kids. It's just a great time, a great family event that you all can be involved in. Also, I last week took a group of middle schoolers out to Cedar Canyon for a whole week of camp. And my biggest takeaway is that I'm not as young as I thought I once was. By Tuesday night, I finally told them, guys, you're going to have to leave me behind like we're on the battlefield. Go have fun. I can't keep up with you. But I can tell you this, it was an absolute amazing trip for them. I know they enjoyed it. On the way back, we kind of debriefed it, talked about what was our biggest takeaways. And you'll be excited to notice that all the answers, the most favorite part for them was worship at night. And I tell you what, for middle schoolers to say that was their best part, when you have a quarter mile long slide, you have a zip line that goes across a canyon, all the fun things that they get to do during the week, their favorite thing was worship. And I tell you what, that was pretty unique. That was pretty special. So I would ask that you would just be in continued prayer for those middle schoolers that went, that they would continue to let that fire burn with them. Just because camp's over does not mean that fire goes out. Amen? Amen. I would ask that you would pray with me as we begin our worship. Father, we thank you for this time. And we thank you for the opportunity to come before you. And at this time, whatever's on our hearts, whatever's on our minds, Lord, we ask that you would quiet it, that we may now come into your presence and just bask in your glory and to seek your face and to worship you and who you are. And what you've done for each and every one of us, and what you will continue to do for each and every one of us, Lord. We give you this time. We thank you, and we love you. And it's in that precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Everyone, please stand with us. Let's worship and raise a hallelujah to our amazing, steady, and unchanging God. Amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God's sun rising up in me. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes makes me sing. Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
I've heard thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard tender whispers. Father, to you are.
giving our first fruits, our tithes and offerings to the Lord, but please continue to sing with us.
Who else would rocks cry out to worship? Whose glory taught the stars to shine?
Precious Father, Lord, you are the God of Israel, the mighty God of Abraham. Father, Elijah looked to you in his time of need, and you are sufficient for Elijah. And my prayer this morning, Lord, is that everyone sitting here, everybody watching online, may know that you're just as sufficient for them as you were that day. Nothing about you has changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And Father, as we've gathered here to worship your holy name, we gather in that name that allows us access into the Holy of Holies, to bow at your feet. And it's in that precious name, that name that is so sweet to the tongue, that name of Jesus, Lord, that we come here to just say thank you. Thank you for the cross and the blood that delivers and sanctifies sinful men and women, Lord, that we may be born again. Today, Lord, you know our prayers, you know our cries, you know our petitions that we lift up to you on a daily basis. And Lord, I just pray that whatever people are going through, whatever struggles they are going through, whatever valleys they may find themselves in, that you would visit them today. For those whose names are not written in the book of life, that today would be the day of salvation. We pray for Pastor Mike as he gives your message this morning, Lord, that it would be one that is edifying, that would convict us of sin and teach us to run away from it, that we'd be a people known for the cross, that we'd be the people known of repentance and the blood that was shed for the remission of sins. And so, Father, as we have gathered here, we pray that you would settle in this place and that we would be a people that would give you a beautiful aroma, a pleasing aroma with how we worship you, with how we seek your face, and that Monday through Saturday, that would not change. Father, we thank you and we love you. And it's in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Skip ahead, go again. o'clock. Skip ahead, go again, level up, play to win, give it all you got. Take the challenge, make your move. Ready, set, here we go, Jesus will let us know what we need to do. Twist and turns, twist and turns. Following Jesus changes the game, twist and turns. He will guide us all the way. Every up, every down, Jesus will help us out each and every day.
Beautiful. Good job. Good job. Good job. Can we give them one more round of applause? That was good. That was so good. All right, brothers and sisters in Christ, I will ask that you greet one another with the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Parents, help me out. Where are they supposed to pick up their kids? All right, I'll tell them. Dining room? Or they can stay downstairs for children. All right, parents, you can pick your kids up in the dining room, or they can just stay down for children's church. They did a great job. There was 150 kids, 60 volunteers, and that was wonderful. It's good to see the youngsters up in front. That's so good. God is good. That is good. That, you know, that is a breath of fresh air. It is a breath of fresh air to see the next generation. It is a breath of fresh air to see God moving in the hearts and the lives of the next generation. And I will tell you, church, as important as VBS is, as important as Sunday school is, as important as church is, there is nothing more important, dads, that you are involved in your kids' lives. Moms, that you are involved in your kids' lives. It's one thing to be involved in helping them to learn and to grow and to get an education and to protect them. It's altogether another to be involved spiritually in the lives of your children. And it's not even close. The theme of VBS this year was twists and turns. And so let's think about this for a second. There's a lot of things going on in the game of life. And oftentimes we in America get mixed up playing the game of Monopoly. And when we get mixed up in playing the game of Monopoly, there's a lot of times we're sorry. Because we get in all kinds of trouble. And we end up in a mouse trap. And when we get in the mouse trap, what are we going to do? Where are we going to turn? How are we going to get that get out of jail free card? Now stop and think about it for just a second with all of life's twists and turns. Today, and dads, I'm not going to pick on you. I hope to offer you a word of encouragement. But I will tell you this. That the stats don't lie. And many, many, many times I've looked at the statistics of fatherless homes. And rather than go through all the list of them, I'm just going to quote one. One from a couple of years ago from the U.S. Census Bureau. And it says that there are, it's probably more now, 18.4 million children, or one in four, live in a home in the United States without a biological step or adoptive father. That's a big number. But let's put it in perspective. That's enough children to fill New York City twice and fill LA four times. And it has tripled. The fatherless rate in the home has tripled since 1960. There's nothing that has been more damaging to this country than the absence of fathers in the home. More importantly, the absence of fathers leading spiritually in the home. Is there anything that has been more under attack in our culture than biblical fatherhood? What does it look like to be a father that loves their family well and points them to Jesus? The most difficult task, I'm almost 50, the most difficult task I have found in life is having a healthy marriage. Not just an okay marriage, but a marriage, and I firmly believe this, that is at a point that it's not just a blessing to the husband and the wife, but it's a blessing to others. It's the way God intended it. He intended for marriage to be one that's not just a blessing for the spouse, the spouses, and the children, but to be a blessing to others. And children, by God's design, flourish the way God designed marriage to be, between a man and a woman coming together and raising a family. And the devil's no dummy, and that's been under attack for years and will continue to be. And so today, the title of my message is Good Dads. And you know what's interesting is that as I combed the scriptures, I wanted to find 5 or 6 examples of good fathers in the Bible. And what could we glean from them? But you know what's fascinating? Is I had to change course. Because as I studied those dads that we so often read about in the scriptures, David and Jacob and Isaac, you know what I found? They were terrible dads on a lot of levels. So I'm like, what are we going to learn from them? David, good grief, a man after God's own heart. So we're going to dive in and we're going to learn from their mistakes. And hopefully we can take some things away. Now, wives, before you tune out, this is applicable for both parents. And if you're a single parent, this is applicable to you. And if you're a grandparent, this is applicable to you. So please, don't tune out. First, let's look at Jesse. If you're taking notes, 1 Samuel 16 tells the story of how God had determined that one of Jesse's 8 sons was going to be the next king of Israel, the second king. So Samuel shows up and he has a conversation with Jesse and he says, one of your sons is going to be crowned the next king of Israel. Would you please present them? So Jesse, as any good father would do, paraded his 7 of his 8 sons in front of Samuel, and Samuel said, it's none of these. He said, do you have any more sons? And Jesse's response was, I do. He's out in the field tending the flock. Jesse viewed David as just an afterthought. I wonder how that made David feel when he got called into the field and his brothers are all standing there. And he's like, oh yeah, by the way, you're next. You must be it because you're the last one left. And then Samuel anoints him king. And he becomes king and he has children. And throughout the course of David's reign, we read about his children. We read about Amnon, who raped his half-sister Tamar and then was murdered by his brother Absalom. And in 2 Samuel 13:21, we read that David was furious about all this going on, but did nothing about it, completely silent. Absalom, that same son, also led a civil war against his father. And another son, Adonijah, tried to seize the kingdom from him. And in 1 Kings 1:6, the scripture says, and David never interfered with him. The word in the Hebrew for interfered here is to confront, to ask why, to stretch to the point of pain. So point number one, a good father will discipline and challenge their children. We are to raise our children in the training and admonition of the Lord. And we need to be having hard conversations with our kids. And you probably already know this, but we will do a vast majority of our parenting between the age of 2 and 7. Those are those critical years. And by God's design, parents and grandparents, we get first crack at our kids as far as influence. And I will tell you that by the age of about 12 to 14, that pendulum naturally swings because here come the friends, here come the girlfriends, here comes all of the things that the world is going to bombard them with. And if we haven't set a solid biblical worldview for them, not just by talking to them, by modeling for them, we're behind the curve. And a lot of it has to do with setting consistent boundaries and discipline. It's tough. But our kids do not need more friends. They need parents. And it is difficult because when you punish, you inflict pain on your kids. And that's not easy, but it's for their good. and we see the consequence of a generation that's being raised with no boundaries. We see the consequence of a generation that's being made, raised, focused all on self. It's all about you. And if we don't discipline them in love, they lose. So a good rule of thumb here, parents, as it relates to our kids' privacy and freedom, is this. Interfere with your kids' life where your concern for their safety and well-being begins. They're going to learn about all the uncomfortable and tough subjects in life, including SEX. And what, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I didn't have a phone in my hand, and I didn't have all these things popping up. It was all of a sudden I'm over at a buddy's house, and I see this magazine. I'm like, what in the world is that? And he's like, now, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, they could have a phone in their hand, and they could hit the wrong thing, and oh my goodness, what a mess. Because those images are burned into their little minds. And you couple that with what the world says about things like marriage and sex, and oh my goodness, do we have a battle ahead of us. Dads, you gotta lead the charge with this. Have the conversations when it's age appropriate, and don't waver because it's tough and uncomfortable. Get in the game. Number 2, Eli the high priest. You'll find this if you're taking notes in 1 Samuel 2:22. And it talks about Eli, who was the high priest, had 2 sons, and the Bible called them scoundrels. Now the high priest was in a position of substantial influence and power. The high priest was the only one that once a year could go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. The high priest was the one that the people looked up to, and their job was to point the people to God and lead worship with humility and reverence and holiness. And it was customary for people to come to the tent of meeting and bring sacrifice, and they would bring meat, and that meat was to be boiled. And the high priest was to take a 3-pronged fork when the meat was being boiled and the fat was cut off, and was to dip it in the pot, and whatever came out was the high priest's portions. But these 2 sons of Eli's, they couldn't control their urges. They lacked self-control. So they would go to the people, and before the meat, the fat could even be cut from the meat, and before the meat could be boiled, they were taking it from the people. And they got by with that for a while, and the people would go to Eli, and they would tell Eli about this, and he would not confront his kids, and if he did, he didn't do it in such a way that would change their behavior, or at least make them stop and think. So then it got worse, and then they began to go, and they began to prey on the women at the entrance of the tent and have inappropriate relations with them. And this made God burn with anger against them, against Eli and his sons. And he says this, "For I have told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about." Here it is. "And he failed to restrain them." Good dads teach their kids to deny themselves. Now, this is really challenging. Why? Because of our natural inclination of sin nature. By nature, we are sinful. By nature, we are selfish. By nature, we want what we want. If there's anybody here who has ever had to teach their children the word no, without having to just teach them, please let me know. Now, if your kids are just ones that will just say yes all the time, please see me afterwards, because I want to help you write a book. Because it's a natural inclination to tell our parents no, to do what we want to do, because we want what we want. And it's very unnatural for us to fall in line under authority and deny ourselves. So this is where, parents, we have to take a look in the mirror. And we have to ask ourselves, are we the center of our own universe? Because if we are, how can we ever model for our kids what it looks like for us to not be? Is God the center of your life? Have you committed your life to Him? Is everything you do revolve around bringing honor and glory to God and pointing your family to Jesus? We're going to fail. That's not the point. The point is Jesus the center? and it's everything else, the hub coming in of the spokes, so that when that wheel turns, it's God in the center and everything else around it. Because when we look in the mirror, we see self, and it's just too easy to serve self. And if we're not modeling that, what it looks like to live, to submit our wills to God's, how will our children ever get that? It's critical. It's critical. Next, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. He had a youngest son named Joseph. Joseph was the favorite son. Joseph got a coat from his father Jacob that was of many colors. And Jacob is 17 years old, and he's at home with his father. And his father says to him, "Why don't you go out, and why don't you check on your brothers in the field who are out there toiling?" And in Genesis 37:3, it says this, that he, Jacob, loved Joseph more than his other sons. And so Joseph shows up in the fields, already a lot of tension and animosity around the relationship, and he says this to them, "I had a dream, and in that dream you bowed to me." I wonder how the brothers received that. Not very well. In fact, they were more than a little bit upset. They were enraged, and they were going to kill him. And then they thought against it. They tied him up, and they threw him in a hole. Then they sold him into slavery, and then they shed the blood of an animal and put it on his coat and brought it back and tried to deceive their father. What a disaster. What an absolute disaster. Now, we know that God had all of this planned, and we know that God worked all of that out for good according to his sovereignty. But good dads don't show favoritism. This is a good word, church. Love your kids equally and relate to them uniquely. Love your kids equally and relate to them uniquely. I have 3 kids. I have 2 girls and a boy. And my 2 girls, and they couldn't be more different as yours are. And two of them are very musically inclined. And I have one, the boy is more athletically inclined. It's really easy for me to relate to my son because we have so many things in common. But I will tell you, I have tried to be very intentional over the years for my kids to know I love them equally. In fact, I received a blessing today. I received a great Father's Day gift today because my daughter led special music at the 8:05 and the 9:15 service. And both of my daughters were going to do it, and I didn't know that they were going to do that. I didn't set them up. I didn't ask them to do that. They chose to do that. And then one of my daughters, literally in the middle of the night, her throat hurt so bad she couldn't swallow. And so this morning, right away, told my oldest, "Hey, you're flying solo." And she's like, "Oh, boy." And let me tell you, it was a little bit of a mess this morning. And I'm sitting in my office about 8:45 this morning with my oldest daughter, and we're both a little bit frazzled. And I put my arm around her, and I said, "Daughter, what a blessing that we have today to worship together. Thank you for being willing to take the talents and the gifts that God's giving you and willingly serve for his glory." And I put my arm around her, and I just had a time of prayer. And then as she sang, and I sat there, I just said, "Thank you, Lord, for the gift that you have given me in my children, and that this one wants to serve you with the talent that you've given her." And then she sits right here and helps lead the littles as they're all up here doing their thing, and you're all smiling, and what a blessing we had from that. Why do I tell you that? Because I think as dads and as parents, we can have a tendency, if we have more than one child, to show favoritism, even unintentionally. And Lord, help us that we would be careful not to do that. Next, the story of the prodigal son. Jesus tells a story in the New Testament of 2 sons, an older and a younger. And the older one was always working and always doing the things to please his father. And the younger one was a mess. Demanded his inheritance and ran off and blew it all. And he comes back broken and humble. And the father runs to meet him. You know the story. And he says to the servants, go and kill an animal, a prized animal, and we're going to celebrate with a feast. And the older brother is bitter, and he's angry, and he confronts his dad, and he says, how is it that this one can just go and spoil and just live a rogue life, and yet you're going to throw him a celebration, and I have been here and toiling and toiling and toiling. And what? Now, here's what's interesting. And this relates to us as fathers. And this one, more than any, hits me right between the eyes. You see, what the son didn't understand is that the father's love was not based on performance. My heart breaks when I see dads have such high expectations of their kids, and you can just see that thread of love tied to it, even so unintentionally. May our children know that we love them unconditionally, not based on their gifts, not based on their talents, and not based on their performance, but based on your, as a parent, love, unconditional love for them. Nada, that was a great performance. And I love you. How about, I'm so proud of you that you're using the gifts and talents that God has given you. Use them to give God glory. Use them to be a reflection of God's love and grace. Always turn it away from them to the glory and goodness of God. Because they're going to fail. They're going to fail. But our love for them need be unwavering. Lastly, and the one that I can probably relate to the most, is found in Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, we read 1:5, 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul writes to Timothy, and he's giving praise for Timothy's grandmother and mother for the influence and impact on leading Timothy in his young life. And you know why I can relate to this? I can relate to this because that's me. Because I had a mom that did that, but not a dad. And most of you know my story. I had five fathers. I'm Waldrop by adoption. I'm Leaf biologically. And my mom went through all kinds of stuff. And before I was 16, we had moved 33 times all over the country. What a mess we had. One of the men my mom married ended up in prison, and another one was extremely abusive and drinking alcohol and all of the things. And when I was well out of high school, my mom finally met a man that loved Jesus, and he's a good man, and he loves my mom well. So my mom filled that role in the absence of a father that led spiritually, and a good father is going to lead his family spiritually with humility. And it's tough. But the most important thing about our kids is not that they academically excel or they don't athletically or musically excel. We have to remember that the most important thing about our kids is their soul. And you're molding and shaping little human beings with a soul that has an eternal destiny. So dads, how are you investing in your kids spiritually? Are you praying with them? Are you praying for them? Are you engaged in helping them establish a biblical worldview so that when life smacks them in the face and the world tells them one thing, that they can stand firm on the truth? And I said at the last service, and I mean this, that if God calls me home soon, and my children stand in the sanctuary at Aldersgate Church and go up to the pulpit, what do I want them to say? And I hope it's that my dad loved Jesus, and my dad pointed me towards Jesus, and my dad loved my mom. If that's the case, they win. They win. If that's the case, then as a father, I've done my job. And the most important thing that you will do, dads, is you will pray for your kids. You will pray for your kids that God would save them, that he would sanctify them, and that they would learn to live for him willingly and well. There's an amazing statistic that I read this week from Lifeway Research. According to the data collected through Promise Keepers and Lifeway, if a father does not go to church, even if the wife goes, only 1 in 50 children will regularly attend worship. If a father goes to church regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will attend church as adults. If a father is involved, the family will be involved. Now let me say this very clearly. God created male and female in his image, and they are equal. There's not one better than the other. But God absolutely established a hierarchy. He established it. And it says, fathers, you will be held accountable for the things that happen in your family. And I am afraid we don't take that seriously enough to raise our children in the training and admonition of the Lord. Instead, what we see is a culture that, as Chip Ingram says, and he's right, so what's the end game? And here's what Chip says. Remember that you are not called to produce successful, upwardly mobile, highly educated, athletically gifted machines. Giving your kids great opportunities is good, but it's not, however, the goal of parenting. Christ-likeness is, above all, seek to raise your kids to look and to act like Jesus. Raise your kids to look and to act like Jesus. We can't give our kids what we don't have. So it starts with, do we have a personal relationship with Jesus? Ourselves, moms and dads. And if we do, how are we modeling that for our kids? Because your kids are watching and they're following, so be careful where you lead them. I don't know a person in here that wouldn't die for their kids. So the question really is, why don't you live for them? To point them to Jesus. Why don't we live in such a way that they see the goodness and the faithfulness of God reflected in our lives? Not perfect. Messy. Very messy. With epic fails. But God's grace is enough. It will cover all of our failures because there is only one perfect Father. And we want our kids to see him in us. Finally, Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, not biological father, but what an example he was of a righteous man, of a man that submitted his will to God's will, a man that adopted Jesus. This would be something to be said for adoption. Hear me when I say this. Biology is the least of what makes a man a father. Biology is the least of what makes a man a father. And so maybe so for us that we do these things in closing. We acknowledge that there is no perfect father and there is no perfect mother. But as we sang today, God is a good, good father. Number two, dads, be quick to forgive. Forgiveness goes a long way. If you make mistakes in parenting, ask for forgiveness. Be humble. Let your kids hear and see you apologize to their mother or to them if there's been a wrong because it's going to happen. And do your best and pray the rest. You know, I've really had in the last year a harsh reality that it won't be long before my 22-year-old daughter and my 18-year-old daughter will no longer, I will no longer be that number one go-to in their life as a man. And that's a hard reality. Really hard reality for me. I have one play at this point with my adult kids. Pray. Because the most important decision they'll ever make is to follow Jesus. And the second most important decision they'll ever make is who they're going to spend the rest of their life with. It'll be a lifetime of joy in the midst of the struggles, or it'll be a lifetime of misery. I can tell them that all I want, but they're going to make those decisions. So I have one play, and it's prayer. God, my prayer has been two things for a long time. May they find a man that loves Jesus more than they do. And may they find a man that will love them and serve them well. We have a good Father. And in the midst of all of our mess ups, what we need more than anything in our culture today is men to step up. Stand for what's right. Love and serve the Lord. Love and serve their families with humility and with grace. And so may it be with each of us. In closing, I would like for us to read two scriptures together in unison from Jeremiah 31 and 1 John 3. Let's read these together. I would invite you to stand, and then Troy will put those on the screen, and let's read them together. All right, church, let's read this together. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason that the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you that you are the perfect Father. And Lord, I pray this day, not just for fathers, but for mothers, for single mothers. I pray for those who have relationships, Lord, that are strained. I pray for those that today, Father's Day is a tough day. They're grieving the loss of their father. God, give them peace and give them comfort. Maybe today's a painful day because they didn't have a good dad in their life. Lord Jesus, surround them with your love and your comfort and your strength. Your word says you are a father to the fatherless. Your word says that you and your strong and mighty arm will care for each of us. And there will come a day, there will come a day when each of your children will be with you, our Heavenly Father, for all eternity. And you will make all things right. Lord, be with us, especially be with the dads, that they would seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with you for your glory and the good of their families and others, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, with that, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May you go in the peace and the strength and the joy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shine his light, church, until we can meet again, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said. And in case you were asleep, let's wake up to worship. Let's give God a mighty hand clap.
The one who bled to save me, and
heroes of the faith, and with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day, join the
Let me thank you once again for joining us. And we really do hope that you enjoyed today's worship and message. And more importantly, that you were able to come to know just who Jesus is and the grace and the peace that Jesus offers to each and every one of us. And if you're feeling led to help support this ministry and our outreach to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can give online by going to aldersgatesd.org/give. And if you have any questions, or if you have any prayer requests, feel free to contact us. You can go to our website, aldersgatesd.org, or you can connect with us on social media, whether on Instagram or Facebook. Or you can simply just give us a call at 605-225-5680. Just let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. Friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And we hope to see you next week right here at Aldersgate.